in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Let's begin with a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Zola Budd, who made headlines in the 1980s and 1990s while running for England and South Africa, respectively. Zola is celebrating her 54th birthday on this Tuesday. She was born May 26, 1966, in Bloemfontein, South Africa. While she never won an Olympic medal, Zola Budd did win two world cross-country titles, and she still holds numerous British and South African records at junior and senior levels. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten will join us later in the show with a special birthday report on Zola Budd. We're joined now by our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, who reports the coronavirus pandemic has hit Ghana football especially hard.
The coronavirus pandemic has done a major blow to Ghana football, which was reviving after its closure in June 2018 due to massive corruption scandal. And after a cleanup by a FIFA-appointed normalization committee, a new president was elected in October 2019 by Congress to steer the affairs of Ghana football. The leagues in the country were unattractive, but the introduction of a catchphrase, "Bring back the love," by the current administration, football fans got inspired and filled the empty stadia when the 2019-2020 league season kicked off last December. Ghana was not an exception when the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic was reported and the only option was to suspend all gatherings. Ghana's Deputy Minister of Sports, Perry Okudzeto, talks about the impact of the pandemic on football and other sporting disciplines.
That's across continentally and globally as well. So it is not as if Ghana is lagging behind when it comes to sporting activities. All our qualifiers have been put on hold locally at the district levels, regional levels, and the national level. All sporting competitions have been put on hold. So looking at the various people who participate, in terms of, for instance, about 43 federations and counting, and these are federations that engage at all levels. Most of them operate at regional and district levels as well. So you can see the enormity of the effect that this has had on our sector. On the global level, you know that we're supposed to be preparing by now towards the Olympic Games in Tokyo. That has been put on hold till 2021. And Tokyo is even sending the signals that they are employing about 8,000 people and cannot keep 8,000 people on their payroll until after 1 year.
The pandemic has brought unforeseen changes in all sporting calendars and also economic and social shakeups. However, Ghanaian sports doctor, who is a member of Confederation of African Football, CAF, technical committee, explains the process of playing or cancelling the various competitions in a country.
In several levels of engagement, at the ministerial level led by my minister, Honorable Ezekiel, and also at the federation level, just even last week, we had some discussions with the president of the Ghana Olympic Committee, the president of the Paralympic Committee, as well as the president of the GFA. Mainly, these discussions are centered around where do we go from here? What is happening to the sport? What is the plight of our sportsmen and women? And how do we come up with a package that will help them, for instance, steer through this period? Discussions are ongoing. We have not as yet come to a conclusion as to what exactly we're going to be doing for them. Because if you look at the approach of President Ahmadou Dankwa Akufo-Addo in tackling this pandemic, every Ghanaian everywhere has been targeted. And that is why you saw that throughout the period there have been policies that have been rolled out that we expect to touch the lives of every single individual. And I'm sure that is how come we have been able to sail through to this point.
That was Dr. Prince Pambo, CAF Technical Committee member. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mitro-Sredovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You are listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. And thanks also to our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, for that report. My VOA colleague Adam Phillips has been talking with Amy Bass, author of One Goal, A Coach, A Team, and The Game That Brought a Divided Town Together. Bass's book chronicles the inspiring story of a group of teenage Somali refugees in the U.S. state of Maine. They overcame prejudice and other obstacles to help their boys' soccer team win the 2015 Maine State High School Championship. In the final part of her conversation with Adam, Amy Bass said the Somali boys brought a wonderful work ethic to the team.
You know, they work very hard to make the team a team of the whole. You know, the bench players are as prioritized as the players who are on the field. This is a team who scores in such awesome capacity that as soon as they're up by five, the starters are pulled and the next line goes in and the next line goes in. And soccer becomes something that you have to work really hard at. You know, 25 years ago, soccer was something that you might have done to get into shape for your hockey season. And now if you want to play soccer and you want to be on the varsity roster in Lewiston, you better be playing all day, every day and studying the game and really taking it in, because it's no longer an easy team to just roll onto.
Give me a sense of the buildup to the epic game of 2015, the championship game. There must have been a lot of anxiety among Somalis and native-born Mainers alike, not to mention the townspeople.
Yeah, there was tremendous pressure with the 2015 championship, and I think my favorite chapter in the book is going through with each of the players about what that morning was like, waking up in Lewiston and thinking about the game that lay ahead of them and the pressure of trying to bring this city its championship. But I think that the most remarkable thing about that day is that there's 4,500 people in the bleachers of Fitzpatrick Stadium. You know, it's the most ever to sit for a soccer game in Maine. It's more people than show up the following week for the football championship. And you have those kinds of numbers. You're not talking just about the parents of the players and the friends of the players. You're talking about the community, a significant representation of the community. So they got to experience for those 90 minutes what it was like to be together, to have a we moment instead of an us versus them moment.
Sounds like a classic American success story. The immigrants who become Americans seemingly overnight almost.
I think that this story is very different because usually we talk about assimilation and Americanization and fitting in. And I think that Lewiston is really a negotiation in which all sides have to learn from each other to find paths forward together. It isn't about erasing who you are when you arrive to fit into this thing that we call America. It's about how to still know language and culture and food and tradition while living in America, and how you can take something like a common passion for a sport and use that. I mean, one of my favorite things that the players say about Coach is that he doesn't care where they're from as long as they pass the ball. You know, that's a great sort of daily mantra to take away. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing together, you can learn from that and live with that.
Give me a couple of examples, maybe of a Somali immigrant or refugee and a native-born Lewiston person who really exemplifies this sort of coming together or mutual negotiation that you're talking about socially.
I think one of the most interesting characters in the book is Etshobo Saban, someone who played for Lewiston in 2007, 2008, 2009, as the roster was beginning to fill with Somali kids. And he was the only Somali on his eighth grade team. He made friends with Johnny McDonough, a fellow teammate who had sort of taken an interest in Shobo because he was wearing soccer jerseys to school every day. He's really one of the first kids that forges this path of how to hang out with people who aren't exactly like him. So I think that those kinds of examples of team playing together, being together and creating relationships that work on the field and off the field is a heartening thing to look at.
And you mentioned this sort of mutual accommodation we felt on and off the team within the high school really translated into sort of palpable prosperity for the town. It's sort of on its way back now. These two comeback stories sort of reflect each other, don't they?
Yeah, it's thriving in a way that I think city planners hadn't envisioned. There's all of these entrepreneurial dreams that are coming to life when you walk down Lisbon Street. You have a mix of variety stores and grocery stores and clothing shops and tax services and, you know, an upscale coffee house on the one hand, mixed in with stores that are selling 40-pound bags of rice and green bananas and hijabs. It's a global experience to walk down Lisbon Street. It is a Main Street USA, but in a way that probably the city administrators didn't envision.
You have so much passion for this subject. It seems like it's really been very inspiring for you to work on all this.
It has. This project started as conversations about Syrian refugees and, you know, was the United States open or not open to be sort of that place that people could see as a beacon and who the United States is, because those conversations are now framed in terms of quotas and walls. And so I think that whether it be a soccer story or the story of this obscure season for this obscure team in Maine, America needs to remember who it is.
That's Amy Bass, author of One Goal, A Coach, A Team, and The Game That Brought a Divided Town Together. And she spoke with VOA's Adam Phillips in New York.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The Nigeria Women Football League says it has not recorded pregnancy among the players in its 20-team league. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, the league's head of media, Dapo Sotominu, said he is aware of the situation in Ghana.
It's quite unfortunate that women's footballers in Ghana are getting pregnant. You know, I'm not too happy about it, and I'm sure the Ghana Football Federation also won't be happy about that. It brings a lot of sour taste in the mouth. I think the Ghana Football Federation should do something about that, something decisive to forestall future occurrences. The situation in Nigeria is quite different because the players were almost, you know, kicking off with the new season before the COVID-19 lockdown. So all the players, the 20 clubs in the Premier League, they've been in their various clubs across the country, and they remained there from that time up to now. So there was no kind of infiltration, there was no kind of waywardness, and all the players are looking forward to the new season. And you know, in Nigeria, the season is always very, very tough when it comes to women's football. Everybody wants to qualify for the Super Four that will take them to the qualification to win the title for the season. So quite unfortunate that this is happening in Ghana. Nigeria's situation is different. It's not that we are perfect, really. We've just been very lucky concerning that, and I pray that Ghana should get out of this very soon.
Has any palliative been given to footballers in the Nigerian Women Football League?
Yes, from the side of the Nigerian Women's Football League, the 20 clubs in the Premier League, they've not actually gotten any palliative relief measures from the management of the league. And it's not because this is deliberate, it's not deliberate. And as you know, the NWFL is not, you know, getting the kind of sponsorship, the kind of financial support we are supposed to get. But we've actually been managing and pushing through, and year in and year out, promises of sponsorship here and there. But that doesn't mean that the clubs have not been doing something. The various clubs, actually all the 20 clubs, you know, have actually provided palliative measures to different players and coaches. It started with Rivers Angels. You know, Rivers Angels, they are the richest, you know, women's club in Nigeria, followed by Bayelsa Queens and also Delta Queens. We have Edo Queens, who are actually paying the same remuneration with the men's team. The men's team is the Bendel Insurance. And all these clubs, almost all the 20, provided palliative measures for their players, and they are very, very happy. They have a pictorial evidence of the donations from their club management to the players. So that aspect has actually been taken care of, and we are happy with the clubs. We've sent, you know, commendation letters for showing care and dedication and commitment to the well-being of their players, and we are great about that.
Are you in contact with the players to know how they are coping with the lockdown? Do you have plans to restart the Women Football League in Nigeria?
Yes, we've been in close contact with the players from all the 20 Premier League clubs across Nigeria. At a point, the management of Nigerian Women's Football League, led by Aisha Falole, held a meeting with the club captains, the coaches, and even managers of the clubs. This was actually done through Zoom. They had the online meeting, and it was a very, very successful one. The players were told to keep themselves tight, keep themselves, you know, fit, and they've been doing that. From the side of the NWFL, we introduced a lot of, you know, a lot of activities for the players. They've been involved in exercise regime from each of the camps. Players were asked to send videos of various exercise regimes, you know, and they've been sending to numerous, you know, WhatsApp platforms, and, you know, they've all been catching fun. At the time also, there was a dancing competition. You must be three in number for you to send videos of your dancing competition, and, you know, a lot of things were actually happening. A lot of things are still happening, and we've been keeping the players, we're keeping tabs on the players to be sure they are all in camp, they are all keeping safe. They are also, you know, observing the social distance, putting on their mask, and all the preventive measures against the spread of coronavirus. They've been doing that. And on the possibility of the season kicking off, it's going to happen very soon. And, you know, until the NFF, until the federal government, you know, come out with an announcement for, you know, football activities to commence in Nigeria, not after that we are going to start with the season.
That's Dapo Sotominu, head of media for the Nigeria Women Football League. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporting greetings from Dapo Sotominu. I'm the director of Media Nigerian Women Football League. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Thanks, Haiti. That's my VOA colleague, Haiti Fitzpatrick. Haiti is originally from Cape Town, and she's a proud graduate of the University of South Africa. South Africa-born athlete Zola Budd topped our Tuesday show. Zola is celebrating her 54th birthday, and VOA's Gwen Uten has more on her athletic life. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Zola Budd was born 54 years ago today. And like many children growing up in South Africa, she walked and ran in her bare feet. And Budd was still running barefoot in high school when she was deemed a natural talent. By the time she turned 18 in 1984, she ran the women's 5,000 meters in record-breaking time. But Budd's appearance at the Olympic Games that same year will go down in history as a defining moment in her career. Budd spoke to Reuters News just days before her birthday and said she entered the 84 Olympics feeling like an outsider.
I felt like before the Olympic Games in 1984, I felt it didn't matter. Even if I'd won the gold medal, it wouldn't have mattered because I'd still be branded in a way, or an outcast. So I couldn't win either way. So for me, it was a lose-lose situation, the whole 1984 Olympic Games.
From 1964 to 1988, South Africa was barred from participating in the Olympic Games because of its policy of racial segregation. So the London-based Daily Mail newspaper encouraged Budd's English father to persuade the teenager to apply for British citizenship. As a result, Budd circumvented South Africa's Olympic boycott and instead ran for Great Britain.
I think that was probably the worst decision of my life, to run the Olympic Games. But then at that time, me and my coach didn't really have a choice. It was part of the contract, it was the Daily Mail. So in a way, I had to do that. But looking back at it, I think it was way too early in my career. I didn't have enough experience running competitive races at that level. And I was still very young, coming from South Africa. So yeah, I don't think emotionally I was ready for such a big experience like the Olympic, especially with all the political upheaval accompanying that and all the pressure around that.
What followed became one of the most controversial moments in Olympic history. Bud took her mark in the 3,000-meter event alongside competitor and American world champion Mary Decker. Decker set a fast pace at the start with Bud close behind, and the two women were in front of the pack when Decker came in contact with one of Bud's legs. But despite being knocked slightly off balance, Bud maintained a close position with Decker. But after a second contact, the two women collided for a third time that sent Decker to the ground and out of the race. Bud was able to continue on, but she finished in seventh place. The incident made headlines worldwide, and Bud is still in disbelief at the enormity of the event.
There was nothing else happening. Was the Russians not competing in the 84 Olympics, so the American media had to find something to hype the Olympic Games up, and obviously me and Mary, and it was a good story for them, and the story was bigger than the real thing. For me, the whole incident with Mary just went overboard, I think, with the press and how people handled it. And it was just another race.
But Bud is quick to add her career did not end with that infamous race.
People think my career ended with the Olympic Games in 84, but I mean, 85, I had my best running career. 85, 86, I won the World Cross Country Championships twice. And 85, I had a really good year on the track. And then I raced with Mary on the track quite a few times that year, and she helped me run all my best times that year. So, yeah, I don't want to be defined by the 84 Olympics, but I think that's what people mostly remember.
Well, Bud might be remembered for the 84 Olympics, but she will always be regarded as an incredible athlete. She still holds junior world records from the mile to the 3,000 meters that have gone unbeaten for nearly four decades. And she's found success as a marathoner. She's won two marathons in the United States, where she now lives. And in 2007, she won a title back home in South Africa. In fact, her swift feet have made a cultural impact on her birthplace, along with having a street named after her. Taxis in her hometown of Bloemfontein are nicknamed Zola Buds for their speed and velocity. We here at the Sunny Side of Sports wish Zola Bud a very happy birthday. And that is all from me. Back over to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And I join Gwen in wishing Zola Bud a happy 54th birthday. As Gwen mentioned, Zola has also been successful at the marathon distance, and she's also competed in South Africa's grueling Comrades Marathon, an ultramarathon of approximately 90 kilometers. The 2020 Comrades Marathon has already been canceled because of the coronavirus pandemic, but organizers say they are planning a virtual online event called Race the Comrades Legends, and it will offer events over a variety of distances, ranging from 5 kilometers to 90 kilometers. I guess if you're doing the full ultra marathon event, you have to be prepared to be at your computer or online device for more than a few hours. Finally, the National Basketball Association says it's in talks with the Walt Disney Company about restarting its suspended season in late July in Orlando, Florida. The potential plan would see the NBA hold games at a single campus, the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex in Orlando. There are more than a few questions about the plan, including coronavirus testing of players and if the league would resume its season with the NBA playoffs. in mid-March with 5 weeks remaining in its 82-game schedule. The NBA became the first major North American pro sports league to shut down because of the COVID-19 crisis. And that wraps up the May 26th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.